Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. We're here gathering together to honor and worship our God. Amen? So the Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So let's pray. Father, this morning we are here for one purpose of glorifying your name. We are nothing without you. We acknowledge, Lord, that it is you who brought us everything into this world. It is you who created everything. That's why, Lord, this morning we ask that you lead us, you guide us, to honor you, to glorify you, to know you more, so that we have the joy while we are living in this world. We are so chaotic not good to look at. But we know we have hope because you said you are with us and you will never leave us nor forsake us. So, Lord, this morning, as we share your word, may you lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, and everybody say,
amen,
amen and amen, Lord. So, our topic for this morning is the intended audience in the kingdom. So, basically, this is, I would say, a presentation, not a message that something like you can... This is what it is. So it's a presentation. It's maybe you will say, no, I don't like it. So maybe you like it, maybe you don't like it. So, but I would say I will present to you biblical verses, and it's up to you to weigh in. That's why I'm telling you ahead of time so that you will not shoot me when I was there or when the service is done. So praise God. So some of you are aware that we've been running a Connect group every Friday. It's from 6:30. We come together, we shared, and we have food fellowship, we call that. It's a Filipino kind of style, but hey, it's for everyone. And then I would encourage you to find some group, or if you feel like you're being called by God to establish a small group. So we encourage you to have one, because the reason why we're saying this is we know that if we have connect group or small group or people who can trust to and we can pray together, we can call them in the middle of the night, that's something that you can feel you're inside the believers, the body of believers. So just to share with you, one night, it's about 11:45, I think, and I heard my phone like there's a notification or something, and I didn't know that it was somebody who is in need of a tent, you know. And she was saying, "Oh yeah, my friend is really in trouble right now. He doesn't have any place to live in, but I'm looking for a tent." And right away there was one from the group. "Hey, I have here a brand new, almost brand new. I use it maybe once or twice, and I'm willing to give it away." And then we connected and everything, and then she got what she needed. So I encourage you to have one if you don't feel like attending, in, let's say, Friday, but you can do some other days. Or maybe just by phone call. So we encourage you to be involved in a small group so that you can be taken care of, or you can share your faith to encourage one another. Okay? So... this presentation that I will be doing this morning is basically a result of what I've been through since 2000. And back in the Philippines, I had so many questions, and I don't know how to answer. And I'm not saying that this is the answer to my question, but I'm seeing it. It's a little bit, helping me to go into the process of having that joy in reading the Bible. And the purpose of this presentation is for us to be into the Word and not only trusting what we are listening to different, preachers and YouTube. And that's the purpose of this presentation this morning. So can we watch the, at least how it's going to be presented, and we have the idea from this clip. Thank you.
How to write for your audience. Before you begin writing a draft, you should consider your audience. Your audience is the person or group of people who may read your writing. Knowing your audience will help you determine what they already know, what is important to them, and how you can make your writing as meaningful as possible. You can tailor your writing to your audience by choosing a writing style that will best suit them. Style is the way your writing sounds. Just like we wear different styles of clothing depending on the occasion, we use different writing styles depending on our audience. One important element of style is word choice. You may choose language that is formal or informal. Formal language is more serious and academic, while informal language is more casual and conversational. You should also consider your audience's current understanding of the topic to choose the vocabulary that is the most appropriate for them. Another important element of style is tone. Tone is the attitude or feeling of your writing. To determine the appropriate tone for your audience, consider how you feel about the subject and how you want your audience to feel. So let's look at some examples of how I can tailor my writing to fit my audience. Let's say I'm writing an informative report about the history of New York City. If I'm writing a report for my teacher, I'll use a formal tone and include detailed descriptions to show what I know about the topic. If I'm writing for an audience of other students who live in New York, I'll probably use a more informal tone, and I'll need to consider what they might already know. Or maybe I'm writing a narrative story about when I visited New York City. I should think about how I want my audience to feel and what might make the story interesting to them. I may use a serious tone if I want to tell the audience about a stressful experience I had there, but I'll use a more lighthearted tone if I want to describe the fun places I visited. If I'm writing a persuasive essay to convince others to visit New York City, I should consider whether the audience already has an opinion on this topic and which reasons and examples would be the most persuasive to them. If I want to convince my parents to take me, I'll need to think about any concerns they may have and use that information to choose convincing reasons. If I'm writing to persuade other kids to visit, I may focus on the fun activities kids can do in the city. So before you begin writing a draft, consider your audience. Use what you know about your readers to help determine the style of your writing.
Okay, for more than, I would say, 25 years of holding group, small group Bible study, I would say, I don't call myself as leader, I call myself as coordinator, because the reason why I said that, there are discussions within the Bible study, and I mean, you will be amazed that they don't agree with each other. It's almost like fighting with each other. So, and it's hard because, you know, they insist what they know, and the other one insisted what they know, and it's like, and I couldn't stop them. I just bow my head and pray, and I said, Lord, give them peace, you know. And it was funny because one day we were discussing about the topic of unity, and there was a heated argument, and they even pointing each other saying, no, you're wrong, you're Muslim or whatever. And then I said, oh, my Lord. But at the end, praise God, they embrace each other, they ask forgiveness with each other. And this is one thing. It is God who will make us one, who will unite us. It's not because I know this and because you know that, and you will insist what you know, and I will insist what I know, and we will be together, and we will be one. No. I believe it is God. It's written in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, until we all come into the unity of faith, into the knowledge of the Son of God and the full stature of Christ. So this morning, I will be doing a little bit of presentation between John, the book of John, and the book of Matthew, where in that presentation that you, or the video clip, is something like presenting that God wrote to us or to anybody, but there's certain group of people, I believe, that intended for that type of letter, or for the type of gospel, or for the type of promises. So let's see, the first clip first, please. So in Romans chapter 9, 4 to 5, it says, who are Israelites to whom pertains adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises? Verse 5, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, and the eternal blessed God. Amen. So it seems Apostle Paul was telling or writing, pinpointing a group of people where they have the promise. On the other hand, the next slide, here's another. Apostle Paul was telling, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So, brothers and sisters, my friend, we used to be like what Apostle was saying. But now, because of Christ, we're in. Okay, we're together. Next slide, please. And Apostle Paul also, in 1 Corinthians 10, 32 to 33, give no offense. He was talking about the food offered to idols, but he recognized three groups of people there. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men, all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Next slide. So here we can see the Jews, the Greeks, the Bible called Greeks, but it's the same as Gentiles, and to the church. So now we can see those three classes of people that could be, I said could be, maybe, hopefully, addressed when we're reading the Bible, to whom it is intended to, listen or meditating it or something like that. So before the establishment of the church, there are only two groups of people, the Jew and the Gentiles. Before the Jew and the Gentiles, there's no group of people. It's just one. During the time of Adam, going to the time of Abraham, and then God chose Adam, and then going to Isaac, and then Jacob, and then the 12, how you call that? Yeah, that's it. And now, I believe that when God gave this word, His word to us, this written, the Bible, there's something that He wants to understand. He wants us to understand to whom the promises or sometimes a specific promise is concerned. Okay? So I'm not saying, and I will repeat this, I'm not saying that don't read if it's not intended for you. No. The Bible's an open book. God showed His revelation, who He was and who He is and who He will be from Genesis to Revelation. That's why we need to read cover to cover. And every books of the Bible, we have to really know it. Next slide, please. So here we will do a little bit of comparison or comparing Matthew and John. And I was in the scenario where we were doing some Bible studies and questions like why the book of Matthew is so different than the book of John. So of course you have so many answers, you know. Especially Pastor Rob been to Bible school and you know doctor's degree. Me personally, I don't have any formal seminary or Bible school or anything. That's why I'm saying this is not. I will call this just presentation. It's up to you, you know. So let's see this one. The possible audience in the book of Matthew. The book of, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. From the very first verse, you will probably remember that there was a promised king to be the Jewish king, which is the son of David. So in Matthew chapter 10, 32, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to, I don't know what that is. Go rather to, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So it seems like, is that saying that, hey, don't touch other people, don't go to the Gentiles, just go to the Jewish people or the Israelites. And in verse, the next slide, please. It was Jesus when there was a lady or a Canaan lady asking for help, asking and pleading for help. But Jesus said, he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Would it be like a trace of or a tone of saying that this is intended, this Matthew is intended for the Jewish people? I don't know the answer. You answer. I have my own answer, but it's you can answer it. The next one is the book of John. The next, yeah. But in the book of John, here's what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing that was made or was made. So it means like it's for everyone. There's no such thing as Jew. There's no such thing as Gentile. It's for everyone. Next. And verse 11 to 13, here's a little bit of, I would say, I don't know if you allow me to use the word twist, but it's not twist. It's, we know that it's God's plan for everything. He came to His own. We know His own is the nation Israel, the Jewish people. And His own did not receive Him. Say, did not receive Him. Loud, did not receive Him. So He did not receive Him, but as many as received Him, to them gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So it seems like because this nation, the Jewish people, I said nation, not individual Jew, the nation rejected Jesus, and then of course, this is what happened. Next slide. And this is our favorite. Next slide, please. Yeah. And this is our favorite. No, John 1, 11, 13. Next one. Is it? What happened? So it's John 3, 16. Can you see it there? Is it John 3, 16? Oh, yeah. So I didn't change the verse. Oh, sorry. It's John 3. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him, I'm quoting in my memory verse there, that's why I'm not reading exactly. He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the next slide, you can see the highlighted there, whoever. The whoever there, I believe, and I think it's more to say that Jew or Gentiles. Remember the three classes of people in our age, the Jew, the Gentiles, and the church. The church is composed of individual Jew and individual Gentiles who believe Jesus and form part of the church, the body of Christ. In other terminology, the mystery form of the kingdom. Okay? So it says that for God so loved the world, whoever, it means whoever believed, whether Jew or Gentiles, it means the believers, it means the church. Would this presentation mean that God intends to write the book of John to the body of believers? I leave you to answer that question. Next slide. Okay, the word repent. I was trying back in those days to find why there's no repent or word repent in the book of John. Probably those of you who are reading and comparing verses to verses and trying to, you know, have joy in looking at it, you probably encountered this. But maybe some of you are just relying on listening. I couldn't blame you, but yeah. So the word repent appeared three times in the book of Matthew. Matthew 3, 2. By the way, I'm using New King James Version for the purpose of you understanding why maybe you're looking at your Bible, it's not the same. And 4:17 and 11:20. However, in the book of John, it was never mentioned. So there's no repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay, Matthew 3, 2 and 4:17 is saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For the time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's in the book of Matthew. So, would this mean that in the book of John, we don't need to repent? I don't think so. But let's look at the definition of repent. The next slide. Yeah. It's, again, it's short. It says, the Hebrew Bible sees Teshoba, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, as principally or principally a return to God. So to make the story there, summarize there, it's just like they believe God, they have God, their father, they have relationship, but they move away from God, they turn their back to God. Now the Jews has to return, has to come back to God. That's the call. Say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay? On the other meaning is turning away from sin and going back or turning to God. Turning away from sin and turning to God. The remorse, you know, the forgiveness, Lord, forgive me, something like that. But of course, it's obvious in the book of Matthew. But what happened in the book of John? Let's go next slide. Yeah, that's what I put it there. To return means there was previous relationship or commitment that was abandoned or broken. God said to Prophet Samuel, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they rejected me, that I should reign over them." So God was leading them. But all of a sudden, they turned to other God. That's why the call is repent, come back. Okay? But on the book of John, let's see the book of John here, the next one. Oh, no, that's the next one. But in the book of John, I believe there's no repentance there because that could be the calling is believed. You know, the Gentiles have no relationship with God. We seen that in Ephesians chapter 4, 11, chapter 2, 11, and 12, that we were Gentiles and we don't have relationship with God. So the call for the book of John, if it was written, intended for the believers, for the church, the call is you have to believe before you repent from your sin. Okay? You will not leave your sin, you will not come out of your sin as long as you don't believe God. So I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, that the reason why there's no repentance, although there's a lady in chapter 8, there's a in chapter 7 of John, you know, she was caught into adultery, and according to the law of Moses, she needed to be stoned up to death, right? And Jesus said, what Jesus said? Go and sin no more. It's almost like a repentance, but I believe it's more of belief. Because you don't have the relationship first, so you have to believe before you can get out of your sin or turning back from sin. Okay? So that's my presentation, why there's no word repent in the book of John and why there's repent in the book of Matthew. Next slide is the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, go back. The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, the book of Matthew has many parable, especially about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. There are 6 mentions of the book of the kingdom of God and 31 kingdom of heaven. That's in the book of Matthew. Now, in the book of John, only 2 mentions of the kingdom of God and never mentioned the kingdom of heaven. Those are the questions I had back in those days. And I said, would it be because the intended audience is different than the book of John and the book of Matthew? So, having said that, the kingdom that was we read a while ago, God rejected by this nation, but by his nation, by saying, no, we need the king. And then we need the king, and then they worship other God and turn their back to God. And then that kingdom basically is offered to them through Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Here's one thing when I used to, because I was born again, or I received Jesus from the Pentecostal group, and I'm not saying they're wrong or whatever. But from there, I've always heard the word, let's expand the kingdom of God. Let's build the kingdom of God. Have you heard that phrase? Huh? Yes. Yeah. So one thing I realized that there's no word as building the kingdom of God. There's no word like expanding the word, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has been already established. It seems like it's somewhere. It needs to be coming down to earth, right? But Jesus said, I will build my church. So there's a building of the church, but the kingdom is already been established and it should come to the earth. That's why in his prayer he said, your kingdom come on earth as it's in heaven. So it's supposed to be already been established. We don't need to expand it. It's already God knows about the kingdom and it should be going down to earth. But here's what happened, and this is again, you can reject it and you can say no. So in the book of John, we have two mentions of the kingdom of God. Next slide. And for some of you, probably have know the dot or the direction. So the arrow going there is the church age, which means our age now. And then you have the 7 years there, and then the 1,000 years of Christ's reign on earth, and then the forever. So the next slide. So when the Lord said to Nicodemus, he said, except a man, in John chapter 3, verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot what? And in verse 5, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Paul, Apostle Paul, through that word, he mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15:50, he said, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. So would it be, it's a question, and I'm not saying this is true or not, would it be that the church should be raptured, should be in the glorified body before you can enter into the kingdom that will come in the future? So that's a question. I'll leave it to you. Because flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. So next slide. When it comes to parables, have you noticed that there's no parable in the book of John? No, you didn't notice that? There's no parable, my friend. The book of Matthew records at least 23 parables related to various aspects of the kingdom. However, in the book of John, never used parable but analogy or allegory about himself. Like, I am the door, I'm the light, I'm what else? I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. And all that I am. So he used an analogy to explain who he is and our relationship to him. So next slide. So the purpose of parable in the book of Matthew was, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. So if the book of Matthew is the intended audience for the Jewish people, would it be true that Jesus spoke them in parables so that they will not see? And then all of a sudden, Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, he said, the blindness in the part of the Jew is temporary until the full number of the Gentile has come in. So we can see there's a little bit of explanation there why it could be. And then the next slide, it says the provisions. So here's the, I would say you will raise your eyebrow for this one. Because here's what it is. Therefore, which is our favorite verse, right? Matthew 6:33. It says, the 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added on to you. Before that, we never read that before, the verses before. We always quoted the 33. But it says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. Okay? So there's, for after all the Gentiles seek, for your Father, Heavenly Father, knows what you need, this thing. So would it be intended for them? And here's my question all the way. If I believe in Jesus, and we're saying we are in the kingdom of God in the spiritual sense, or they call that mystery form of the kingdom, why I need to seek those that kingdom if I'm already in? Okay? And of course, explanation like, oh, you know, it's not that. You have to go attend Bible study, pray every day, seek the Bible, you know, share the gospel. Okay? Would it be intended for them? Or the next one? The provision for the book of John is like this. And whatever you ask in my name, that's not John 15 verse 7, I think it's John 14. In my name, 14, I think it's, I made the wrong verse there. Anyways, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified by the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14, 13 and 14. John 14, 13 and 14. So, if this is for whoever believed the book of John, and I'm in front of a judge, and I'm presenting the case, and I'm using, you know, the written law, would I have the presenting this or the other one? Do you answer? Next slide. No, this is wrong again. Maybe I'm too... Okay, next slide. Yeah, that's the one. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So friends, brothers and sisters, I'm just comparing the provisions written in the book of John and the provisions written in the book of Matthew. Would it be because the intended audience of the book of Matthew is the Jewish people? And the intended audience of the book of John is whoever believes, means the believers, means the church? I'll let you answer that question. Next. Promise of the Holy Spirit. This is one thing. And correct me if I'm wrong. If you find something in the book of Matthew that God promised in the book of Matthew about the Holy Spirit, then come to me and say, you are wrong. In the book of Matthew, there's no record of sending the Holy Spirit to the intended audience. There's no mention. That, in the book of John, there's tons of reference for the coming of the Holy Spirit to be with them. Okay, next slide. You know, nothing in the book of Matthew. It's just the Holy Spirit came to Jesus, during the baptism, you know, anointed him, everything. Led him to the temptation. But in the book of John, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, that the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So, next slide. You know, another helper, next slide. So another, talking about the Holy Spirit. And here's another thing that you have to ponder and you have to think about. The church is here now, the body of believers composed of individual Jew and individual Gentiles who receive Jesus Christ. Jesus now is in the right hand of the Father, right? So he's now there and we're here and his presence is not with us today. So he sent his Holy Spirit to guide us, lead us, teach us everything that we need while we are here on earth. But for the kingdom of God, Jesus will be with the Jewish people to reign over them on earth. But we will be reigning with him in the glorified body. Could that be the reason why there's no promise of Holy Spirit in the book of Matthew? And in the book of John, there's tons of those. I leave to you the answer. Next. The Great Tribulation. Oh, I have only 44 seconds. For the Matthew 24, verse 21, for then there will be a great tribulation such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, not ever shall be. It seems like when you read the book of Matthew, chapter 24, you feel like, oh, right? But have you seen anyone in the book of John in that tone of in the last days? Maybe not. Why? Because in the book of John, it says this. Next one. In the book of... Another one. Next one. Oh. There's no record of great tribulation. And this is what Jesus promised in the book of John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. Let not your heart, let not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If not were so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and again receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise the Lord. I don't know, I'm not saying you need to believe that we will be taken out before the great tribulation, but I will just present it to you. Why is it the intended audience, being the church, would not be in that great tribulation? You answer it. So, next slide. Next slide. No more? Is that the last one? Yeah, I think that's the last one. Okay, that's good. Praise the Lord. So, here's after this presentation. The question here is, how much time you spend reading the Bible? How much time you pray and ask that, Lord, help me. I cannot do it on my own. If you say you love God and you are not even have time to read your Bible, you're just passing by and, you know, not even saying good morning, Lord, or thank you, Lord, I'm still alive this morning. Praise the Lord. Hey, I'm not putting guilt on any one of you. I'm just saying because that's who we are. We need reminder. We need, you know, reminders and things like about our relationship with God. How much we're doing this for the glory of God, and are we even having a sleepless night, you know, where you're thinking and thinking, because I've been experiencing it sometimes, it's really hard. I'm saying, Lord, please help me, I want to sleep. But hey, this presentation that I gave to you guys is just a result of, you know, years and years of looking and comparing and verses by verses. So all the answers on some questions that I don't know how to present it, I leave it to you, and just pray to the Lord, and may you have the answer if anything that's not clear with to you. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are God and you know everything. Your plans for each and every one of us is so great, Lord, that you want us to be with you. But Lord, we know, and you know, we're weak. And through that weakness, Lord, you are our strength. So before we leave this place, Lord, we ask that you guide us, you help us, you lead us. You who send your Holy Spirit to each and every one of us, corporately and individually, you are with us, Lord. Although physically you're there in the right hand of the Father. So we're so thankful that you are mediating between the Father and us here on earth. So we give you praise, we give you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Amen. God bless you.